this week's Parsha, Achrei Mois Kedoshim, I'd like to focus on the beginning of Achrei Mois. It's something people often just sort of zoom through without really stopping. We know the beginning of Achrei Mois is all about the Avoda, Yom HaKippurim, the Kohen Gadol, the Beis HaMikdash. And the Torah tells us as follows. We know there was a unique korban which was brought on Yom HaKippurim, the Soe La'azozel. And that's what I want to speak about today a bit. The Soe La'azozel, something radically different to all other korbanos. All korbanos, we know, are brought up on the Mizbeach, in the Beis HaMikdash, whether it should be a Chatos, a Shlomim, a Oila, or whatever. Once a year, Yom HaKodesh, there was a korban called the Soe La'azuzel, which was part of the Kapura Yom HaKippurim, and it was given over to a person to take El Eretz Gezerah to a faraway place in the Midbar, and it was thrown over the top of the cliff. And when that happened, then that was part of the Kapura. And in the Beis HaMikdash, there was the violet, whatever you call it, was changed into white. And that was a siman that the Rebbein Shloilam was mechaper the avoinus of Klal Yisrael. So the Torah tells us as follows: Ma'eis adas b'neis ol yikach shnei seirei izim. One had to take these two goats. V'lokach shnei haseirim behemid oisom lifnei Hashem. One would bring these two goats. Pesach oil moyed. And how did one know which soe, which goat was going to be offered as a korban chatas in the Mizbeach, and which soe was going to be taken to be the soe lazuzel? They would make lots. Goyrel echod la'ashem, v'goyrel echod la'azuzel. Most unusual. Why couldn't Aaron and Cohen just decide, hey, this one is going to be the one for the Mizbeach. That one will be the one for the Lazuzel. No, had to be done through lots. Why through lots? When do we ever find such a thing? One has to make a goyrel. This was so important to decide which animal will be on the Mizbeach and which one will be Lazuzel. So the Mishnah tells us in Masechtas Yima as follows, that Samach Beis. Another interesting halacha about these two goats. Shnei Seirei Yom HaKippurim, the two goats, these two goats, mitzvusom shiyishneim shovim b'mara. They had to look the same, you know, to us, because we didn't grow up in the countryside. A goat is a goat. They look pretty much the same. Well, they don't, just like we don't all look the same. So, goats also don't look the same. You have some goats look a bit hazoi, some are good. These goats had to be shovim b'mara. They had to look the same. Iva koima. They had to have the same height. Sometimes you can have a goat has a similar face, but you can see one's taller, one's shorter. They had to have the same height. Iva domim. They had to be worth the same amount of money. Cost the same. Sometimes you have a good pedigree, costs more. These two goats had to be worth the same amount. Evelikichusom ke'echod. And they had to be purchased together. So, in other words, these two goats were like identical twins. You shouldn't be able to tell them apart. The same height, the same appearance, the same value. Two identical goats. Now the Medrash Rabba in Parshas Toldos compares these two goats to Yaakov and Esav. Because The Torah says, in Parshas Toldos, that when Rivka Imeni told Yaakov to put on the hairy clothes of Esav, said Yaakov, Hein Esav ish sui. Esav is got, he's a ish sui, he's full of hair. Vonoichi ish cholok, and I'm just smooth. Says the Medrash, we see here that Yaakov Avini referred to his brother Esav as an ish sui. Sui in the translation there means full of hair, but sui is also a goat. That's the sui la'azazel. And the sui la'azazel carries as kol avoy noisom, all the aveiros of Klal Yisrael. Tells us the Medrash, avoy noisom is avoy nois tam, is a reference to Yaakov Avinu, who Yaakov Avinu, we know, was a ish tam yoshev oiholim. So we have here, says the Medrash Rabba, that these two goats on Yom HaKippurim is a remes somehow to Yaakov and Esav. And when I saw this Medrash, I was a bit puzzled. Because Yaakov and Esav, we know, were totally, totally different, radically different one to the other. There was no common denominator between them. They didn't look the same, they didn't act the same, they didn't talk the same, they didn't behave the same, which was basically because Yaakov Avinu was saying to his mother, Ruchel, how can I go in pretending to be Esav, but my brothers are ish sui, v'noich ish chuluk. We don't feel the same, we don't look the same, we don't, nothing. Now these two goats, the Shnei Se'irim, Yom HaKippurim, they had to look identical. So why does the Medrash compare these two goats with Yaakov and Esav, when the Chayyim, there's nothing connecting the two? So there's a Medrash Tanchima, actually in this week's Parshim, Parshas Kedoshim. First back the Medrash Tanchima, to them Parshas Toldos, when Esav Arusha came in to Yitzchok, and he'd heard that Yaakov had been and got the bruchas first, Vayisa Esav Koiloi Vayefk. And Esav Arusha started to cry. Says the Medrash Tanchima, B'shvil Adamuay Shabucha Esav Arusha, because of these tears which Esav Arusha cried, V'oma Bocheini Gam Uni Uviv, Father, have you not got for me one brucha? Zucha lechol hatoiv v'legedila v'hatzlucha. Everything we see, the goyim, the Esav is matzliach in this world, is all a result of those tears which Esav Arusha cried then when he said, Bocheini gam uni ovi. And there's a second medrash in Medrash Shoich Hatoiv. The Medrash tells us on that pusik, Vayisa Koyle Vayefk, Rebbe Leza Oyma, Shaloisha Demuois Hoyred Esav Harusha Me'enov. He only cried actually three tears. But because of those three tears, Beshvil Demuois Shahoyed Ois Harusha, Hishlit Ba'oilam Venusan Loi Shalva Ba'oilam Hazeh. And we ask, please, Rabbeinu Shloilem, says the Medrash, K'shetovay lirois elboim b'necha, Rabbeinu Shloilem, why can't you see the tears, the distress of your children, she'eineim zolgus b'chol yoim, which ye not crying every single day? Shenem, as the Pusik says, hoy soli dimusi lechem yoimom v'laylam. That my bread is accompanied by tears, that Yidden are crying constantly in the gulas. So Esav cried three tears because of that. Rabbi Yisrael says, you cried, you showed me, you upset, you lost out in the bruchas. I'm giving you all the hatzlucha in Olam Hazeh. Yidden said, Rabbi Yisrael, we're also crying. Now comes the third words of Chazal. This is a Zoya HaKudosh. Omer Reb Yitzchak, Hage'ila shal Yisrael loitalya ela bebechi. The ge'ila of Klal Yisrael depends only on our tears. Kad yishlemin v'yichlin b'chi demois debucha Esav kama ovi. When the tears that Esav cried in front of his father will finally be finished, d'chsev v'yisa Esav koyle v'yev. Then says the Zoya Kodesh, kiven deyichlin inen demum bebechi de Yisrael. When those tears will be replaced by the tears of Klal Yisrael, yifkin mogalise, they will go out of gulis. This is what's written, Bebechi Yavoi Ivatachaninim Oivilem. Through the tears of Klal Yisrael, we will bring them out of Gulis. And this is what we say also in Shemalas, Hazoirim Bedimo Berina Yiksoiri. Those who sow with tears, they will be zoicha to harvest with joy. One of the famous Sadiqim, the Rebbe Reb Shmelke from Nikolsburg, asked a gewaltige kasha on these words of Chazal. From these words of Chazal emerges, everything which Esav has is a result because he cried three tears. And our tears have to somehow compensate, be in place of those tears of Esav Harusha. Hot gefragt der Rebbe B'Shmelke, how many tears of Klal Yisrael shed over the last 2,000 years of Gulis? And yet somehow it doesn't seem to be enough. How is that possible? We have a klal that everything becomes butel b'shishim. We know if a piece of, say, trefa meat, or a piece of meat falls into a pot of milk. So a little piece of meat or gravy, let's say gravy falls into a pot of milk. If there's 60 times more milk than the gravy, it becomes butel b'shishim. The gravy is like it doesn't exist. Because since there's 60 times more milk, the milk is mevatel that gravy. So, Freik the Rebbe B'Shmelke from Nikolsburg, so the thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of tears that Klal Yisrael have shed over the years, how come the three tears of Esav are not butel b'shishim, butel b'elef, butel b'million? How can this be? So says the Rebbe Reb Shmelke, an answer as follows. That this halacha, that something becomes butel b'shishim, is only when it's a different substance. Let's say gravy into milk. But what happens if a piece of trefa meat falls into a piece of kosher meat, the same type of meat? Since it's the same thing, it doesn't become butel because it just enhances it. I've got more meat. When I have gravy fall into milk, so the milk overcomes the gravy and the gravy becomes part of the milk. There is no gravy there because the gravy, since it's so much milk, the gravy ceases to exist. I've got a pot of milk and the gravy becomes butel. But when a piece of meat falls into another bowl of meat, pot of meat the same, it doesn't become butel, I've just got more meat. So says Reb Shmelke, in order for our tears to be mevatel, the tears of Esav, it has to be a different form of tears. If it's the same type of tears, I'm crying because I'm missing out on whatever I want, so those are the same type of tears as Esav. If it's the same time, then we have a klal, min b'minoi, if it's the same, it can never become butel. That's what the Rebbe B'Shmelke from Nikolsburg said. However, one of the other great tzaddikim, lived also about 200 years ago, Rabbi Yitzchak Radvila, says, I'm very surprised that the Rebbe B'Shmelke should say such a vort. Are our tears in any way comparable to the tears of Esav? Of course not. How could he possibly say our tears are the same type of tears as the tears of Esav? It's impossible. And therefore he says, I don't agree with him whatsoever. So, if so, the question remains, why are the tears that Esav shed not become butel, b'shishim, b'elef, b'million from all the tears which we, Klal Yisrael, have shed over the last 2,000 years? And also more, we need to understand the original Medrash, which the Medrash says that these two goats are the same as Yaakov and Esav. As if to say Yaakov and Esav are the same, like these two goats were identical, but they're totally not the same. So there's a gewaltige Wort, which is written from the Ritva, on his perish of Haguda Shel Pesach. Writes the Ritva a very interesting Wort. We know Yaakov and Esav were born as twins. They were twins. They were born together. Freg the Ritva, why did the Rabbein Shalom have to make it that Yaakov and Esav had to be born twins? If it was in order that Yaakov, the younger son, should buy the Bechorah from Esav, they didn't have to be born twins for that. Yaakov could have been born a year later, or 2 years later, or 5 years later. He could still have come along and said, I want to buy of you the Bechorah. So why was it that the Rabbein Shem made it that Yaakov and Esav are born together, formed together, they're in Rivka Imeni's stomach together, come out together? Why? So he writes a Moed Kalushin as follows. V'da be'emes. You should know. Ki lechein yutza Esav harusha te'im im Yaakov hatzadik. This is the reason why Esav harusha was created a twin with Yaakov the tzadik. Bebeten achas. Together in Rivka Imeni's stomach. Kidei shiyavini hu'oilam. In order that the entire world should understand. Ki sitkuso shel Yaakov hatzadik me'atzmoi buloi. That the tzidkus of Yaakov Avini came from his own hard work. Loi b'mareches mazel. Not because he was born under a good mazel and Esav Arusha was born under a bad mazel. V'loi b'teva of Vo'aim, not because Yaakov Avini was born to parents who then they were on a higher madrega, and Esav Arusha was born to parents who then when they were lower madrega, v'loy machriach ache, and not for any other external reason. Perhaps Rivka Imeni at that day she'd eaten something which was bad and that had a bad effect on Esav Arusha, or perhaps she'd seen something bad or thought about something bad which that had a bad effect on Esav Arusha, and Yaakovini didn't have that. No. Shari Bebeten Echod Noldi, he for Esav. They were formed and developed and born together. And what happened was, the Esav Yutzel Atar Bezro, the Yaakov Hulach Bederech Toivim. Simply put, Esav made the decision to be a Rosha, and Yaakov made the decision to be a Tzadik. Now, although we know that Esav was born at Moini Kilaseya, so it looked like he had a bad start from day one, says the Dubna Magid, that if Esav would have wanted, he could have worked upon himself, and he would have come to the same Madrega like Yaakov Avini. Very often in life, people are very quick to blame their circumstances for their lack of achievement. You know why I was not able to achieve? You know why I was not able to learn properly? You know why I was not able to come to the correct madrega which I should have come? Not my fault, of course, chas v'shum. Not me to blame. You know who's to blame? My parents are to blame, my teachers are to blame, my school's to blame, my friends are to blame, the entire world is to blame. I, totally innocent, I didn't do anything wrong. Says the Ritva, you know why Yaakov became a tzaddik and Esav became a rusha? Not because they grew up in different circumstances, not because Yaakovini got a better chinuch than Esav, not because Yaakov Avini was born under a different mazel, had more siyata d'shmaya than Esav. Simple facts. Esav Arusha decided to be Arusha. Not interested, I'm not going to try, I'm not going to work, I'm not going to learn. And Yaakov Avini, he made that decision. I'm going to work, I'm going to try, I'm going to try my best. With this now, we understand the Medrash. Why does the Medrash say that these two identical goats, which had to look identical, b'mara, b'koyma, ivadumim, ivalikichusun ka'achas, they represent Yaakov and Esav? Because Yaakov and Esav, they were beten echad noldi. They were born together at the same time. That's like the Seirim. Had to be likichusum ka'achas. You come by one goat today and one goat tomorrow. They were beteva oisei of the aim. They were born in this, from the same backgrounds. Similarly, the Seirim were shuvim, b'mara, v'koyim, v'dumim. So why was it that one soe came along and was a soe la'azuzel and one was a soe la'chatos? So says Reb Tzudik HaKoyen, a gewaltig gewalt. Why did these two goats have to be chosen through a goyrel? Why did it have to be through a goyrel? Why can't Aaron HaKoyen say, goat A, this will be on the Mizbeach, goat B, this will be on the Azuzel? No, says the Torah, you have to take goyrulos, lots. Zug Reb Tzudik HaKoyen, when a person makes a decision, no matter how little he's involved, what's the difference? Go A, go B. They look the same. Okay, this first goat, that will be that one. That second goat is the other one. At the end of the day, you have had some input into making that decision, which goat will be on the Mizbeach, which goat will be for the Azuzel. When you make a lot, there's no knowing what the outcome is going to be. No one can forecast which goat is going where. We have had no input whatsoever into the future of these two goats. This is a goyrel. We have not had any input. We've not had any decision making. This is pushet goyrulos. Zug Reb Tzudik HaKoyen, this is the message of the goyrulos. The same message. It wasn't the Koyan's input to decide which is going to go on the Mizbeach and which is going to be Lazuzo. We are standing back. We are not involved in that decision. Whichever one is beshet to be for the Mizbeach, that's going to be for the Mizbeach. Whichever one is beshet to be for the Azuzel, it's going to be the Azuzel. How do I know? I'm just making a lot. Whichever is the right one, the Rabboishim will make it. The Goyrel should come out like that. It's the same message. Why did the Sue end up being the Azuzel and that one end up being the Mizbeach? It depends who you are yourself. It depends who they are themselves, this goat. Why did this goat have the schist to be on the Mizbeach and that one didn't? It's not because we interfered. It's not because we made that choice. This is the goat which is Zoicha, he goes on the Mizbeach. The goat which is not Zoicha, he goes La Azuzel. And that again is the message of Yaakov the Esav. You are ultimately responsible for your own Hatzlocha. Like the Mishnah says in Ovois, Im ein ani li, mi li. If I'm not going to work for myself, mi li. No one is going to work for you. You have to work for yourself. And what you become in life is what is according to the effort, is according to how you decide, Im ein ani li, mi li. And that's the Sue La Azuzel and the Sue La Chatos. We are not interfering. We are not giving any opinions. We make simply Gerulos and whatever is Beshet Min Hashemayim, this is what is going to be. So this is the lesson of the two Karbonos which we bring on Yom HaKippurim. And they represent Yaakov and Esav. Yaakov and Esav might look to us totally opposites. I can't see any single thing between them, which is a tzadah shuvah, which is some common denominator, not in appearance, not in behavior, not in madregas. Tell us, Chazal, they are like these two identical goats. When they were born, both Yaakov and Esav had the same opportunities. Esav Arusha could have reached the madregas of Yaakov Avini. But simply, says the Ritva, Yaakov at Tzadik was boicha to be a Tzadik, and Esav Arusha was boicha to be a Rusha. So this is Parshas Achraimos. Want to also say something from Parshas Kedoshim, and perhaps as a continuation of this theme. Parshas Kedoshim starts off very famously, Kedoshim tiyi ki kudosh ani Hashem Elokeichem. And all the Rishonim, Rashi, the Ramban, and many other Mefoshim explain, each one in their own way, what is this so important mitzvah of Kedoshim tiyi? What does it refer to? Says the Or HaChaim HaKodesh in one of his Pshotim as follows. Chazal tell us in Masechtas Kedishin, Daf Chof Teso Mebeis, a person is faced with a temptation. We all have sometimes in life, Nisyoinos, we have temptations, we see something, we hear something, we go somewhere, and we have a temptation to do something which we know is not right. But then suddenly, you think to yourself deep in your heart, I know it's not right. I know I shouldn't be here. I know I shouldn't be doing this. I know I shouldn't be listening to this. And you say, well, you know what? I'm not going to do it. And you hold yourself back. What mitzvah did you just do? Says the Gemara in Kedishin as follows. Yoshev Udam v'loy over Avera. You were sitting and you could have done this Avera. Nobody was stopping you. You could have done it. But you knew it's wrong. So you didn't do it. V'loy over Avera. Nois noischa ka'oise mitzvah. You get a scha as if you did a mitzvah. The question is, which mitzvah did you do? I didn't do any mitzvah. All I did was, I didn't do an Aveira. So you get a scha. The scha is as if you did a mitzvah. But I didn't do a mitzvah, I just didn't do an Aveira. Says the Racham HaKodesh, you did a mitzvah. You want to know which mitzvah you did? The mitzvah of Kedoshim Ti. That is the mitzvah of Kedoshim Ti. The mitzvah of Bevoy Aveira Yudosh Yisrachik Ma'asoysom. This is the level of Kedoshim Tiyu, that we should all be Kodesh. You know why you're not allowed to do this Aveira? Because we are Yidden. And Yidden don't do these type of things. That's who we are. So if that's who we are, we behave differently. Oh, Ibazoi, I won't do that Aveira. You are Makayim this mitzvah of Kedoshim Tiyu. And with this is answered the kasha that the Chofetz Chaim asks. We say every single day in Krishna, V'loi sosiri acharei levavchem, v'acharei einechem, asher atem zoinim achareim, and finishes off the pusik, v'yisem kedoshim leloikeichem. Tells us Chazal, V'loi sosiri acharei levavchem, don't follow your heart. Which Aveiras is referring to? Zu minus. This refers to meanest, to apikosis. V'lo yisasiri achi einechem, which Aveda is this referred to? Zizanis. This refers to adultery, forbidden marriages. Elamai, what should you do? V'yisim kadoshim. Freik the Chofetz Chaim, when somebody has a nisoyen of doing a serious Aveda of meanest, or adultery, or some other serious Aveira. So you say to him, you're speaking to somebody who is worried he's about to be nichshel, he's about to slip up, he's about to eat treif. So you say to him, oh, don't eat that treif. Why would we say don't eat it? Because it's treif. You know, it's a kfelech Aveira. You must. Says the Torah, don't do that Aveira. You know why you're not allowed to do that Aveira? Because v'yisen kadoshim. Because you got to be kadoshim. Freik the Chofetz Chaim. Is that how we speak to somebody who we worried is about to slip and he's about to be over a gross aveira, aveira chamiri, he's about to eat treif, he's about to eat yom kippur, he's about to do who knows what? We say to him, lo yisir achil v'avchim achaneichem. You know why? Because we're yisin kadoshim. Fredrich Hofsheim, yisin kadoshim? How's Kedisha come into it? According to the Rechaim HaKodesh, we understand very, very well. Because this is who we are. Kedoshim Tiyi is not just merely a mitzvah, it's a statement. This is who we are. This is what we are. Sapasnish for you to do such an avera. This is who we are. And this is what the Torah is telling us. There was a bucha after the Second World War, straight after the Second World War. He had gone Nebuch through all the terrors and the horrors of the Holocaust. A bucha from Poland, he'd gone through 5 years of Gehenna. His entire family had been killed. And he, Nebuch, he'd been hiding amongst the Goyim. And he met a Goysha girl at the end of the Second World War there in Poland. He'd given up on his family. There's nothing left for him to return to. There's nothing for him to go. He might as well just marry her. He got engaged to this Goysha girl. And people spoke to him. And they said to him, you know, this is what you've survived the war for? This is what you've survived for? To go and marry out and marry a Polish goiter? This is what you've descended to? And he said, what's the difference? After all I've been through and after all I've happened to me, I've had enough. I'm finished. I don't want to know anymore. I've had enough. I don't want to know. I said, but you know, it's like a fella chave. It's terrible. Nothing doing. Then Nebuch in his months of Nebuch couldn't explain to him. Now there was a famous tzaddik. His name was Reb Godel Eisner. He was a famous mashkiach in Eretz Yisrael, in Geri Yeshiva after the Second World War. A famous tzaddik and mashkiach. This Reb Godel Eisner was there still in Poland. It was straight after the Second World War. And people told him, Efshar, you can speak to this buchral. Try and knock him some sense into him. So this buchra had been before the war. He'd been a ger chosid. So this Reb Godel Eisner went over to speak to this buchra. And he started again this buchra. After all he's been through and after all he's experienced, he's had enough. Said Reb Godel Eisner, I understand you fully well. For a chassidish shabucha like you, we expect something more. It's pasnish for something like you. And when this bucha heard it, it touched a raw nerve. And he said, Rebbe, you're right. He said, you're right. And he broke it off, and he left Poland, and he came to Yisrael, and he set up a chushev and mishpucha. He wasn't able, Reb Godel Eisner, or anybody else, to tell him, you can't do it, it's gefele chavere. Nebuch in his matzah, he couldn't understand it. However, Reb Godel Eisner said, sepasnisht, that's not who you are. Sepasnisht for dir. A chassidish shabocha, sepasnisht. What do you mean, sepasnisht? And for somebody who's not chassidish, but pastis yo? But that he wanted to make him say, don't forget who you are. Remember, this is who you are. Don't forget who you are. Tells us the Torah, Kedoy Shimti, don't forget who you are. So if you remember who you are, so pasnish satin of Zavera. So this is Taka, this is what we've got to remember. And this is our Avoida. And that's how the Pusik finishes off. Kedoy Shimti, ki kudosh ani Hashem Elokeichem. The Reboishim is Makadishas. And when we realize that the Reboishim is Makadishas, then we'll realize that's the pasnisht. So the Reboishim will help him. We should all be zoicha to use all our inbuilt qualities. Many times we think to ourselves, nothing's going to become of me because I'm a nobody, because I can't. I wasn't born with the same talents and with the same gifts and with the same understanding as other people. So other people can, and I can't. But what we learn out from here is asanishtazoi. We are all born with moedik koichas. We just have to utilize our koichas. And that's the lesson of the shnei se'irim, the two identical se'irim. And we have to make sure, emietz Hashem, to follow in the footsteps of Yaakov Ovini, omen ken yehi.